the dog control ordinance. Mr. Moore, please.
Okay, this is the time and place for the public hearing on the proposed ordinance to adopt Chapter 60, Dog Control. A presentation will be made by Mr. Eddie Parker, and he will briefly explain the ordinance and the purposes to be accomplished by it. After he has an opportunity to speak and explain it, then the County Council will have an opportunity to question. And after that process is complete, then members of the general public will be invited to comment on that. Mr. Parker?
Thank you. This proposed ordinance is a result of House Bill 233, which transferred the responsibility for dog control to Sussex County and each of the other two county governments. What we've done essentially is taken the state ordinance as it exists and we've put it into our ordinance. The only thing that we've changed in this ordinance are the fees associated with certain aspects of the dog control. But any provisions that are provided for in here for dog control currently exist in state law. We have not suggested at this point any changes. That's not to say that once we get into this down the road, we may feel necessary to have some changes brought before the council. But at this point, in looking at the time frame that we have to operate in, we feel that maintaining the ordinance as it was previously enacted by the state is the best way to go, again, with the exception of the fees.
Are there any questions for Mr. Parker? For the sake of the public's understanding, these fees have been set relatively high because we do not have the authority, once the ordinance has been introduced, to increase those fees. We do today have the opportunity, if we choose, to lower those fees.
That's correct.
There has been some concern expressed to me about the level of those fees. Could you tell us about the fee structure now?
Well, the state has put a ceiling on the fees that we can charge for individual dog licenses for the first 2 years that we take this responsibility on. The maximum fee that we can charge for a dog that is spayed or neutered is $10 per year, and for a dog that's not spayed or neutered, it would be $15 per year. Those are the maximums.
What are they currently?
3 and 6.
Okay. Does council have any other questions for Mr. Parker before we listen to the public?
I would like to read in to the record a letter that has been received, or an email. Mr. Phillips and Sussex County Council, I would like to take this opportunity to commend the council's efforts with a proposed dog control ordinance that has been posted on the county's website. Thank you for making it so accessible to the public. I've been a boarding kennel owner for several years, as well as a longtime breeder of Labrador retrievers. The importance of maintaining good husbandry when caring for a large number of animals cannot be overstated, and I'm pleased to see that our county is considering outlining some very clear expectations for those who are claiming responsibility for the care of these animals. I had an opportunity to review a dog control ordinance that was proposed at the state level over a year ago. At that time, I was approached by a Dover veterinarian who was working as a member of the panel of folks who were designing the document, and she asked for my input. In short, my feedback was less than positive. It was written in a way that would be difficult for a layperson to understand, and I thought that many of the items would be impossible to enforce. It was a cumbersome and overwhelming ordinance that left me with a feeling of dismay with bureaucracy. With that said, I could not be more pleased to see this important issue is now being addressed at the county level, and that our county has presented an ordinance that is extremely straightforward, easy to understand, and thorough. Well done. The welfare of animals is of utmost importance. However, I also have a vested interest in the preservation of free enterprise and profit opportunity for the small business owner in Sussex County. I am pleased to say that I not see a significant financial infringement on my business bottom line by implementing this ordinance. The items outlined are simply minimum standards of animal husbandry, and every single person caring for animals should be expected to meet, in my opinion, exceed these minimum standards. Again, thank you. I do have a few points of consideration. One, fees. Currently, there are annual fees I pay to the state to hang my sign. A, the franchise tax equals 200, retail license equals 90, and professional license 75. I would fall into the category to pay an additional 125 a year for a kennel license based on this ordinance. Would this 125 license be able to replace one or both of the retail or professional licenses? Two, penalty for failure to secure a valid dog license. The fines for offense do not seem to be enough. As a devil's advocate, would I be better served to just pay the fine if I am caught versus spending $125 a year on an additional license? B, I would like to see a separate fine system for kennels, retailers, shelters versus the 1-4 pet owner. Three, space requirements when nursing puppies confuses me a bit. Please clarify in simpler terms. And four, use of tethers. Personal opinion, is 10 feet enough space? In conclusion, I think the document is outstanding, and I am happy that our county is looking to enforce the accountability of dog owners, retailers, kennels, and shelters. With appreciation, Karen Sullivan, Del Mar, Delaware. That was an email that was received and asked to be read into the record. Now, is there anyone else that would like to comment on this?
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road, Greenwood. There's a couple of things in here that's got me puzzled. Number one, rabies shots. You can get a one-year or a three-year rabies shot. Now, when somebody comes in for a license and they have a proof, have to show proof of a rabies shot, and it could be a one-year, but they could actually ask for a three-year license because they got proof. They got it. There's nothing in here to prevent them from doing that. And also, if somebody comes in, say, March, gets a license and has a one-year rabies, and then turns around and has to renew it by the end of the year. Well, when they do, they say, well, we have a rabies shots. They got the proof. But then you go out from March till the following year, and that dog could be out there with no rabies shots at all. So nothing in here to prevent that from occurring. And why I don't understand why you guys didn't have it in here that if you're going to get your license in December, January, I don't care what month, get a rabies shot at that time, just like a car, and have it, let them have a 1, 2, or 3 year license, but then also do the same thing that the cars are. If your tag runs out and you don't renew your tag in the car, guess what? It's an automatic, $10 fine or something? Why not have the same thing here? Because that way, well, the person can say, well, I'm not going to renew it now. I'll just wait for a while because there's no penalty whatsoever, none. And the next thing is you got who is going to take, nothing in here concerning zoning, because you've already got it in zoning that you got to have certain things under every zoning ordinance where you can and cannot have it. 5 acres or more is by right, but then you got to go adjustment board under 5 acres, and in some areas can't even have them. So who's going to enforce that portion when they come in to apply for a license? The whole thing doesn't make sense. If you're going to do it, you want to do it right. Now, I would highly suggest you come back right shortly and change this stuff and do it right. Of course, the county is going to the dogs because the state, of course, I want to know, are the egg-sucking dogs? Thank you. Have a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, sir?
Did he actually say that? What did he say?
Egg-sucking dogs.
How you doing? My name is Michael Shellman. I live at 6228 Newton Way South in Bridgeville, Delaware. That is a subdivision of Newton Woods. Recently, I've had somebody move into the development and brought all of his beagles with him. Now, according to some laws, it says that you have to have 5 acres or more to run a kennel. The gentleman has a shed set up. 2 runs outside the shed is at a kennel. So I called the county enforcement to go check on him. That was 2 weeks ago, yesterday, and I still haven't gotten an answer, whether within their legal rights or not. The other thing that I saw was that with your new control, dog control, that they're only going to have 2 shifts. I don't know which 2 shifts they are, but when those beagles start barking at 1:30 in the morning, don't stop until 3:30, I cannot call the state police. Do not say that you can do that, because there is no law in this state for disturbing the peace. Now, I've been in my house for 22 years. The person that owns these dogs does not even own the land. What am I supposed to do? And I wish you guys would really address it. Address it with fines for noise, like the other counties do, please. And also, control the amount of dogs. Just because you see your inspector comes by and sees 3 dogs outside, that doesn't mean they don't have a litter of puppies in the garage and 2 more dogs in the house. So I'd like something done more stringent than the state law, because the state law says that person can do exactly what he's doing. If you look at the state law, there's no rules. So I would like you to look at it really strongly about who is going to control the noise. You brought it up earlier. There is a problem with noise. I live in a subdivision. I don't live out in the county. I do live in the county. I take that back. I do live in the county. I live just north of Bridgeville and just north of the old police station. But I moved in there 22 years ago. It was quiet. I'd like to have my peace and quiet back. And you guys are going to be the enforcing agency now. So I would appreciate if you enforce noise. Now, some of the other counties have very strong fines for that noise. And it starts at $100 and goes up. I would like to see something done in that aspect.
Would you suggest?
Yes, sir.
Would you suggest when we see a dog out in the yard that our dog catcher should go in the house and examine the house and see how many dogs they can find?
No, but when you see a shed that's set up with 2 dog runs on each side, would you not consider that a kennel?
Well, I mean, I thought you were saying about the dogs might be in the house nowhere else. So I thought, well, how are we going to do this? How are we really going to not invading privacy and all these things?
I don't have the answer to that, Mr. Wilson. I do not have the answer to that. I see an obvious disregard for the law here.
I understand.
And you guys have no bite in your law to control that.
I've been down that road with barking dog. He barked all night. That's before I had air conditioning. The thing I thought I was going to have to go over shooting before I got
my windows are. Sir.
I understand what you're saying.
My windows are closed, and I can't open them because of the noise.
Yeah, I understand.
And I have double pane windows.
Yeah. Well, some neighbors don't have concern for the other neighbors. That's sometimes the problem. But
well, the point is.
But then again, we don't want to make that, calls that might come back and bite us, too, or bite, yourself. You want to make sure of that.
Says you have to have 5 acres of land to have a kennel, why is a gentleman allowed to set up a kennel next door to me?
Well, start with, we have been in dog business to start with, so we're not at fault of this.
No, but I'm saying that you're by adopting just the state laws, you're not putting enough bite into them.
You've got to start somewhere.
Well, I appreciate your time, and I hope that you can put a little more bite into your law. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
No pun intended.
Thank you.
All right.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Is there anyone else?
Excuse me?
Yes.
Karen Sullivan, 10257 Francis Street in Del Mar, Delaware. I wrote the email. Thank you for reading it. I'm not sure the correct forum here, but thank you in person. Thank you for giving us a chance to talk about this. I really feel for this fellow because, I own a dog kennel. And as far as I know, anyone on any size property can have 4 dogs and not be considered a dog kennel. So if he has 4 beagles, that's it. If he has more than 4 beagles, then as far as the ordinances stand now, that's where someone could step in. But any pet owner can have four that I know of. Anyway, my concerns still stand, as I mentioned in the email, about the fees for commercial kennels. $125 a year is what I would be faced with boarding 50 or less dogs. And, you know, in addition to the other licenses that I have to apply for, my retail license because I sell a little bit of dog food, my professional license because we provide a service, in addition to a franchise tax of $200 every year, an additional $125 a year for just being in business is pretty significant. And I would like to ask if, you know, that licensing fee is going to replace my, you know, perhaps my $75 professional license. And I'm not sure, but, you know, I have a girlfriend that has a daycare center, and she has to have a $75 a year professional license. She doesn't also have to have a daycare license. So
it's a boarding kennel, right?
Yes.
What were some of the other concerns? I think I heard something about a leash, the length of the leash.
Yeah, and just, you know, personal opinion, 10 feet for a dog that's tethered outside. I don't know if that's fair. A dog that's forced to live his life on a 10-foot lead. You know, that's, I don't think that's enough for someone who cares for animals and, you know, in a high volume. And the penalties, you know, I didn't see a stipulation for penalties for the average pet owner who is currently paying $3 or $6 a year for a license to have a dog, versus someone in my position who would perhaps not comply. I didn't see a difference in the penalties there. Is there a difference as outlined?
Maybe a question that doesn't appear so according to Mr. Parker. That's a fair point.
Okay. So all I'm saying is that I don't think that someone who has one dog that doesn't get a license for their dog should have the same penalty as someone who is running a boarding kennel for 200 dogs that doesn't comply with the same ordinance. And I think that was it. But I just
any
wanted
questions for Ms. Sullivan? I'd just like to say we really appreciate you taking the time to read this ordinance. It makes our job much easier when professionals like you will come forward and offer your opinion, and we'll certainly take them to heart and see what we can do.
Thank you.
Okay.
Mr. Baker?
Could I just make a comment?
Sure.
I think the license, or you currently may pay $51 for a license, it might be in one of those fees somewhere to the state of Delaware for a kennel license, and then the $125 would replace that. And it looks like you bring up a valid point. We do have a fine fee in the proposed ordinance for not having a valid dog license, but we do not have one more specific to kennel violations.
And I wasn't very clear about the first gentleman that spoke as far as, I know when I go to my veterinarian to have my dogs evaluated, rabies vaccinations, routine health care, when I get a rabies vaccination, they say, do you want to purchase a dog license? And it's optional. It's optional at that point. When I say I have a dog kennel, I have X number of dogs in a breeding program, blah, blah, blah. My veterinarian's office has no idea how to handle that. And they don't even know where to send me for a license for more than that dog that they're evaluating at that time. I've never been asked, do you want a one-year license? Do you want a three-year license? So I understand that it's being based on when you get your rabies vaccination. That's when you're asked to purchase this license, but I didn't really see a correlation between rabies vaccinations and dog licensing here. Am I correct on that? That is, the ordinance stands that every year, regardless of whether you're having your dog vaccinated for rabies at that moment, every year the average dog owner is supposed to have a license renewal. whether it falls at a time for rabies vaccination or not, that's a responsibility of the dog owner. Is that correct?
It is a responsibility of the dog owner to obtain the rabies vaccination. And I think, and maybe I would ask Mr. Moore, it does say that the applicant shall be entitled to receive a license, provide a proof of a currently valid rabies vaccination. So if someone requests a three-year license, I presume that we can ask for a rabies vaccination that would
cover the duration of the license.
Right.
So we are requiring proof now of the vaccination.
Yes.
Okay, that's different than I had heard before.
Basically, what we're on the licensing side, we are modeling, trying to basically get started with the same process, a similar process that the state has.
Yes.
And
good.
If someone files on the internet through our website,
mm-hmm.
then we are asking them as part of their application to sign and say that they have a valid rabies vaccination. We, through the computer application, we cannot require a proof of that unless they mail in a copy of it. But if someone comes in here to receive a dog license at the counter, the building permit counter, we would ask for a copy of the vaccination, similar to what the state does now. And if they mail in, we can also ask for a copy of the rabies vaccination.
It's just online that we're not...
Just it's online. And what the state does now is they don't actually require the mailing in of that certificate, but they do ask that the... as part of the application, that the applicant sign off that they have a valid rabies vaccination subject to some sort of criminal penalty that is in state code.
Are the rabies records online or in some kind of a computer database that our department could cross-reference the validity of that statement?
I'm aware of. No.
Well, could we ask for some sort of data? I mean, where they got the shot or, I mean, something?
Certificate number.
For the online application?
Yeah, a certificate number.
Name of the veterinarian?
Name of the vet, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Something like that could
We can ask that.
We'll
where they received the rabies vaccination.
Yeah.
That's an option we can include in the on the website.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Any other questions for Ms. Sullivan? Thank you very much for taking your time.
Thank you for coming.
Is there anyone else that would like to speak concerning this proposed ordinance? Seeing none, Mr. Phillips, I believe the public hearing should be closed on this matter.
If there's no objection, we will close the public hearing. Does the council have any other thoughts?
Well, it seems like that a couple of the speakers have brought up a couple of valid points. I mean, we should really think about. I know we're not on a very tight time schedule here. Is it something, Dave, that some of these issues we could be looked at again and maybe tighten something up or change something or reword something and have it on our agenda for the 15th so we can approve it before we end up for the year?
I think one of the points was regarding fines for kennels, and to change that, it may require another public hearing.
If we change the kennel fine, I believe that it would take another public hearing.
If we raise it from what it currently is.
Yes.
You can always lower things, but you can't increase items, usually, as long as you specify a number.
Is it possible that we would want to look at the individual owner's fine and possibly reduce that if we're looking at hearing it? We would not need another public hearing for that.
But the fine is not a whole lot down, really, is it?
Yeah, it's not.
What's the fine? I mean, the fine is a whole lot, is it?
Fine is $50. $50, subsequent offense occurring within 12 months of a prior offense would be $100.
And what is the problem with that?
Well, the question that was brought up is that is for an individual who does not obtain a valid dog license. However, is there a kennel license or a retail dog outlet license, is the fine is the same. So should the fine be greater if I have a kennel and I don't license it properly. And I have 50 well, dogs
think,
in my kennel.
Well, I think we could, like different. I said, I think if we look after a year, we could address it.
That's, I mean, we ought to get moving on it. Doesn't seem excessive one way or the other right now. Right. Is it equitable? Maybe not.
Is the kennel individual dogs in the kennel, or is it for the whole operation?
It covers the dogs within the kennel.
All of them are individual? Each one gets $50, or do you?
No, yeah. It's for the whole kennel.
For the whole kennel. So, well, then maybe the fine's done.
Well, I mean, a couple of other things that were brought up, I mean, like the length of a tether and the other things that, I mean, are those things that we could change and not have a public hearing again?
I think we could change them. However, I think that wouldn't that require a public hearing.
You could possibly adopt an ordinance and then know that you're going to change some things afterwards after you see how it works. You know, unfortunately, we are on a tight tether ourselves here because of the state law.
Okay. And it says, guys, it says the tether is a minimum. In other words, In other words, I just think that after less than 10 feet, we got some serious problems maybe with the dog's quality of life, but, you know, 10 feet?
Well, 10 feet still, if you've got a good-sized dog, 10 feet's not very far.
But, you know. I know, but that's the minimum amount, and, I mean, eventually you get to a point where...
How intrusive
do you want to get?
Am I understanding then that what we're going to do is
some people take any dog
pass this and then come back and review it in a certain time frame?
That is one option.
Do we have the luxury of 1 week deferral?
Yes.
Okay.
We can't change anything.
No.
Well, we can
lower. Things.
You can lower the fees.
What do you want to do? Make it 5 feet?
No.
Well, I have to admit, raising the fees to the extent that we have is a concern that I have heard, and I'm not sure that I'm comfortable with 10 and 15. I think having this out in the public would probably serve us well to understand whether or not it's enough concern to, you know, force a vote on lowering the fees from what they're stated in the ordinance, which we can do.
The fees help pay for the cost of this program. Right?
We're still going to spend $600,000 of taxpayer money.
Yeah, and we're short $3,000, aren't we? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're talking about violators.
Well, if we're going to try to make the fees pay for the program, maybe we better make them $200 a license. And my point is,
we should have no fees at all.
Well, that's possible too. If we want to try to register these dogs and get a handle on them, that probably would encourage a lot more of those animals being registered. But we're tripling the fees, and that's something that this county government's not done very often.
The person who doesn't license a dog is not going to license no matter what the fee is, typically.
We didn't have any complaints, did we?
No, not really. No. There's no issue.
If we voted to lower the fees, when could we raise the fees?
It would require another public hearing, another proposal.
I thought when they passed this thing in Dover, they locked us down for a period of time.
That's true. That's a two-year period of time.
Okay.
That's right.
So we can do that without that hearing.
I think it's all fairly reasonable. I think it's fairly well balanced. I mean, we're not going to be perfect in this ordinance. When it comes to the tether, that's a minimum. Hopefully people will give your dog more. Some, you know, 12 feet could be not enough to some people's mind, you know, so you could go forever. But on the fees, usually the people who are lazy, who will not license their dogs, were just not going to do it. Not if it was free, even. So I just think we ought to move forward and
get it done,
and if we have, we can always amend this later on by going through the public hearing process, but I guess we better get started with something and then see what kind of reaction we have. If there's a lot of negative responses in certain areas, we can look at them. But right now, we're just taking pot shots.
That's what I said 15 minutes ago, wasn't it, George? I think start somewhere.
Yeah, just
get her done.
So I would make a motion that we move forward.
We have a motion on the floor to adopt the ordinance as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
I have a motion and a second to adopt the dog control ordinance in its current form. Is there any further discussion? If not, we'll take the vote. Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Well, I got a time frame to deal with here. We have no much choice, I guess. So I'll vote yes. So.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
I vote no. Motion carried.
Any changes, Mike, we would have wanted to make would have been major changes.